Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Midway through the week, thanks for joining us. Sat through most of the Diamondbacks game last night. We'll talk about that. Cam Newton is the third highest paid quarterback now in the NFL. Cam Newton and Brady and Manning are not in front of him. Of that story. Down in the Stanley Cup Finals get going tonight. The Blackhawks are running into what I think is almost un-American, what they're doing in Tampa Bay, saying if you show up tonight wearing a Blackhawks sweater and you have a ticket for a certain section that doesn't allow you to wear the Blackhawks sweater, you have to move. Actually, you're doing this in Tampa Bay. Like, it's almost like what the Diamondbacks, behind home plate, but not exactly. It's just, that's not a written policy with the Diamondbacks. But, I mean, come on. Seriously? If you wear Blackhawks apparel tonight to the game in Tampa Bay, it's a Stanley Cup game one, they're going to throw you out of your seat. How's that going to work? There is an update on Jeff Hornacek and Iowa State that I'm going to get to. American Pharoah, there's a terrific angle around the Triple Crown. There was a time in our country when boxing ruled and Triple Crowns were something that we looked forward to, that when it was the Derby and it was the Preakness and it was the Belmont, time stood still for all of the sports. I don't think it's nearly the case as it once was, but I do think there's a lot of buzz around the Triple Crown in this week. I'm seeing it showing up now on social media. We'll get into that. I've not talked much about Bruce Caitlin Jenner, but I'm getting people that talk about her picture on Vanity Fair. And I don't know if there's a generational thing here, that I saw Bruce Jenner as a bigger deal than Sugar Ray Leonard, bigger deal than Nadia Comaneci, bigger deal than Edwin Moses, bigger deal than the Sphinx Brothers in the 76 Olympics. So I see this Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner thing a little different. And I'm sure there's some of you that are in your 40s, 50s, like Eric, you're just now into your 40s. Do you agree with me on this one, that there's a backstory? Obviously, there's a backstory, but there's a real backstory there on
this
whole...
Yeah, but again, just like you said, it's just depends on when you were born and what you follow. If you're a sports fan, you probably know Bruce Jenner as the
cover
great,
of SI.
Right, the great Olympic athlete.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're more into the social scene, you probably consider
if you're below
her a Kardashian.
If you're below 35, it's a Kardashian, right? So there's something there I want to get into as the show moves on. We've not talked football much this week because I'm just not big on shorts, T-shirts, walking through photo ops in June. That's all that this really is. I mean, that's all it really is. And but there is some interesting things there to me that I want to talk to Kent Summers about, AZ Central Cardinal Insider. Yeah, it's June 3rd. I'm going to talk some Cardinal football today. Why not? Why not? We'll mix it up. And Michael Fabiano is going to be with us from the NFL Network. We of course, partner with Michael and the NFL Network on his weekly segment during the season. Michael Fabiano's come up with this terrific idea. We actually, when he was out here for the Super Bowl, we sat at one of the corporate tents at the Waste Management, and because the golf tournament was going on at the same time. We got talking about, what if he did an event out here that I put together and fans showed up, and he gave me the look like, I'm already ahead of you. Yeah, he is in a big way. They're going to do it at the Venetian, July 10th through the 12th in Las Vegas. If you're a football fan at all with a pulse and you're into fantasy football, 41 million Americans play it, you're probably going to want to be in Vegas July 10th through the 12th. So I'm going to have him on to talk about that about 10:50. And add to that, Cam Newton's new contract, is he really like a top fantasy quarterback? Let's just think of it from these terms. He's the third highest paid QB now, but I don't know. If I'm putting a team together, if I'm drafting this year, I'm not taking Cam Newton. Adrian Peterson back in Minnesota, at least for now, and some offensive line stuff that I think impacts Peyton Manning in a big way. So some draft stuff. We're not going to go too heavy lifting with Michael, but there's a lot to get to with him. So we'll get all that done. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Last night I'm watching the Diamondbacks game and I see behind home plate that big yellow and blue Santan Ford logo. I know general manager Tim Hovick is very happy with that. I know that his staff, many of them communicate with me while the show's going on or afterwards on things going on around the baseball team. They do the same with Arizona State. They do the same when it's the Cardinals season. They're sports fans there. Why would you not want to do business with them just for that point alone? They're terrific people. I've been with Santan Ford for 4 years now, doing sports360az.com. Day number one, Tim said, wherever you go, whatever you do, I'm there for you. And he can do the same for you as well. Maybe you need service. That long drive is coming up for summer vacation. John Bernath does a terrific job with the sales department. That's all, the service department. Get your vehicle serviced at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. What is on my mind? Leading off today. So the Hornacek story, it's like this. This is being reported out of Iowa State from a couple of different media outlets that Iowa State reached out to Jeff Hornacek's agent, wanted a meeting with the athletic director and the school president, and Hornacek's agent reportedly declined, saying his client has no interest in the job. So while Jeff has never said that here, that is what is being reported back there. Have not heard that out of Jeff as of yet. It's very simple at today's little workouts that they do. When he's asked, it's just off the top, guys, the Iowa State thing, there's no reason to ask me about it because I'm not going. I don't have an interest. I'm staying here. It's over. It's done. It's finished. That's the way it is. I myself think he should take the job, but that's just me. So that's being reported out there today. The NBA Finals get started tomorrow night, and we've gone through about every angle because you have 8 days in between games. We'll have Rick Welts tomorrow, which will be terrific. Rick Welts, the former president. Rick Welts, in my opinion, other than Jerry Colangelo, the best front office executive that I've worked with. And we had an up and down relationship, but it's fine. I respect the heck out of Rick Welts, and he's done a terrific job there at Golden State. Obviously, there's a lot of Suns angles in this final series between Steve Kerr and Alvin Gentry being in the finals. Cleveland, of course, with David Griffin running the Cavaliers, Sean Marion being on the Cavs. There's a ton of angles, and then Rick Welts is part of it as well. He'll join us tomorrow. The Stanley Cup starts tonight. I'll get to the baseball in a minute. The Stanley Cup starts tonight, and down in Tampa, and I don't know much about Tampa other than their goalie is 6'7", which I kind of like that. And he's either been really good. His name's Ben Bishop. He's been really good, or he's been really, really bad. But he's 6'7". I'm 6'8". I can't imagine putting on the pads and being agile there. When they have the Steven Stamkos line out there, they score a lot. That's about as much as I know of Tampa. But I do know this. The way that they are handling themselves in Tampa, trying to censor, and that's what this is. The Blackhawk fans have been told tonight, Chase Club Lexus Lounge ticket holders, please note that for all the 2015, this is out there on their website and being distributed, for all 2015 NHL playoff games at the Amalie Arena, only Tampa Bay Lightning apparel or neutral will be permitted in these club and adjoining seating areas. Fans wearing visiting team apparel will be asked to remove them while in these areas. That is written on the site. The Lightning also prohibit fans with zip codes outside of Florida from purchasing tickets on either team's website or secondary markets. Now, what are we to make out of this? I mean, to me, it's your little old Tampa Bay, and you're trying to throw your weight around, and we can't have any fans here. Is this somewhat un-American? Am I just looking at this a little differently than everybody else? What are you talking about? If a guy shows up tonight and he's paid his $3,000, his $5,000, his $7,000, whatever these tickets are going for, and I hear they're going for pretty high, not as high as NBA, but pretty high. Sir, you cannot be here because you have the wrong color jersey on. Where did this come from? Who institutes this? Why is it Gary Bettman hasn't picked up the phone and said, this is amateur hour? What are you talking about? We have a dress code here. This is sports. There might be some people from Chicago that live here in Tampa Bay that are kind of excited. I don't know. Whenever I see the Blackhawks play, there's more Blackhawk fans than anybody fans. The Anaheim Game 7, it was a Blackhawk convention. So in Tampa Bay, little old mousy Tampa Bay, you can't wear... and who sits in a boardroom and says, look, we want to make sure that we have our home ice advantage, so we're going to put this out there that they can't even wear their jerseys in. We'll show them. How small is that? Hope the Blackhawks just run them over. Knock yourselves out, guys. Censor people coming to a sporting event. Cam Newton gets a $103.8 million contract. Now, it's the NFL. I get it. There's all sorts of ways of guaranteed, non-guaranteed. What's the dollar figure really going to be? At the end of the day, his extension is only behind Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger. Last time I checked, Cam Newton's won one playoff game, and I don't know, it was against a team that didn't have a quarterback that could stand upright. Last time I checked, Ben Roethlisberger and Aaron Rodgers both have won Super Bowls, and he's the third highest paid quarterback. And Cam Newton's fine. Eric, do you get all wound up seeing Cam Newton? Is there anything about Cam Newton? He can stand and throw it a long ways, but...
He's fine.
He's
a good quarterback.
He's good.
Is he an elite quarterback? No, but he's a
one
good quarterback.
One playoff win in four seasons.
He's a more than serviceable quarterback.
In four seasons, would I take him here over Carson Palmer? Not today. Four seasons, one playoff win. And the Diamondbacks, we'll get into them shortly, quite a bit from last night. They blew a 4-1 lead. They came back. Pollock had a two-run home run. But I got to talk about Mark Trumbo and the lineup. So we'll get to that here in about 10 minutes. On the other side, we'll head on out to Cardinals. Kent Summers joins us for a few minutes. AZ Central Sports, Arizona Cardinal insider on the beat day in, day out. That's coming up. And then Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network. At about 10:50. Sports360AZ.com. We're with you every Monday through Friday. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Tie in some national stuff, too. I'm Brad Sussman.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Kent Summers is going to be with us here in a couple of minutes. Sports360AZ.com on a Wednesday, early part of June. This weekend is the Triple Crown on Saturday. American Pharoah this morning was polled for the number five position. There's a storyline, a really good Arizona storyline. And I think if you were to talk about the biggest names in sports in Arizona, we'd always go to the big ones. You know, you'd always go to the NFL and the NBA and Major League Baseball and all that stuff. And I think you look at where Bob Baffert is. Bob Baffert is one of those stories that I think has actually been a little underreported here. He of course has his degree from the University of Arizona. He has a passion for basketball. So they just had the drawing in American Pharoah draws the number five position. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later on in the show because he took a shot at ASU, which I think is kind of cool. And this Saturday for him going for the Triple Crown, that will be terrific stuff. As mentioned, AZ Central Cardinal insider Kent Summers joins us now. For a couple of minutes from OTAs, shorts, T-shirts, and is that about it? I mean, is there anything out there that you've taken away that's like, wow, this is really worth watching? This is bearing to watch when they come back for training camp.
I thought, you know, the other day when they were working on a no-huddle offense, that was intriguing. I mean, just from our point of view, it was, you know, really indistinguishable from when they work on their 2-minute offense. But talking to Bruce Arians afterward, when he said that's something they want to incorporate this year, and I don't know that they've ever used it in non-2-minute situations in his 2 years here. So that's kind of intriguing to see, you know, when Carson Palmer gets in the shotgun and starts calling plays on his own and they use it as a change of pace. Pretty interesting move. And then, you know, yeah, but a lot of it, you know, I'll reserve judgment till get in pads. You know, I liked watching some of the younger QBs, what little I've seen from Logan Thomas, the Phil Sims kid that they picked up from Winston-Salem is pretty interesting. I mean, times I've watched him, what little bit, he's been very accurate. But it's hard to tell about most of these guys.
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, it's June, or late May, and it's OTAs. They come in, they get their work in, and they get out of the way. I'm intrigued by the no huddle thought. Why do you think Bruce would go that route with Carson? Is Carson a good 2-minute quarterback? Is he not mobile enough? Is this a way for them to speed up the tempo of the game? What are your thoughts? Why would he go that route?
Yeah, I think it's a way to speed up the tempo of a game when they choose to, but not when they're forced to. And it's worked for other people. Obviously, the Patriots have used it for years in that way, and the Eagles use it. And I think, you know, when this team plays against certain defenses that do a lot of different things from a personnel group standpoint, I think it's a way to keep those people off the field. To force them to play with the people they have on, and I think that's really an option the Cardinals haven't had before. I don't know that Bruce Arians is a big no huddle guy, although, you know, he did it in his very first game, I think, in Indianapolis with a rookie quarterback in Andrew Luck. But I think they'd like to have that option, and for various reasons, their offensive struggles in year one and quarterback injuries last year, they haven't been able to get to it.
Ken Summers with us, AZ Central Cardinal Insider, with Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Your eyeballs test, your gut, what do you see in the number of wins for this team sitting here in June? Everybody plays that game. What do you see right now?
I think they're talented enough to be a lot like they've been the last 2 years, be in the hunt for the division title and win double-digit games. I really think I like what they've done on offense, especially on the offensive line. I mean, they've rebuilt it in three off seasons. I think they're really deep at receiver. They have a lot of guys who can make plays, and if Carson Palmer stays healthy, they're going to be able to score. The questions for me really have more questions on defense than I do on offense, and it starts with coordinator James Betcher, who's, you know, never coordinated a defense, and you know, and he may be the next biggest thing. And I think we've got to give, you know, Bruce Arians has earned the benefit of the doubt when it comes to selecting coaches and making decisions. But those defensive players under Todd Bowles had such great faith in him that whatever he called, they believed it was the best call that anybody in the league could make. And I don't know, that's a very hard thing to replace. So we'll see how all that works out. And of course, they've got questions at mainly the linebacker spots.
Yep.
We'll see how all that shakes out too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most commonly asked question I get is what's going to happen with Darrell Washington.
It's really strange, and I'm in the midst of just writing a piece basically saying no one's talking about it. There's no one confirming that he's even applied for reinstatement. He may or may not have, but you know, the one-year date of when he could be reinstated has passed. That was May 31st, so we're a few days beyond that. No word. The league's not commenting. He's really obviously broken a lot of trust around here with the Cardinals, and I think Steve Keim and Bruce Arians, in the little they've said about him, are sincere when they say, look, we're not counting on the guy. He's not on the roster, and we're moving on as if we're not going to have it. And I think that's the smart thing to do, and it seems to be what they've really done.
Yeah. Why don't they just move on and say, we have moved on. He is not coming here regardless, no matter what, end of story.
Well, I don't think – the thing is, they don't really know. They hold out the hope or the possibility that he may be back. I think if he has done everything right in that year that he's been gone and been an exemplary guy and had no problems, then – you know, I think they would probably take him back. I mean, they've paid him $10 million over the last 2 years in two installments. So I think they would like to get some return for the money. But they don't know if Darrell has done that. They don't know if he's followed everything he's supposed to do to be reinstated. So, you know, I think there are cap implications if they were to just, you know,
wipe their
send
hands.
Him on his way now.
Yeah, yeah.
They'd have to absorb some of that option bonus money.
But you understand where fans are on this one, Kent. I mean, I don't know if you're getting the same thing I'm getting. I'm just it's really how's Carson coming along and what's going to happen with Darrell Washington. And those are the two.
Yeah, and I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I am a little bit that most fans that I get feedback from want Darrell Washington back.
Correct.
They
I get that too.
Team. I mean, forget the idea that the team's going to make a statement against, you know, substance abuse or domestic violence, et cetera. They would like to see Darrell Washington on the field in 2015.
I get some about Michael Floyd, and is it time for him to push through? And there's been some smoke around his name, whether or not he was shopped or not. I don't know that. What's your view on Michael Floyd?
Well, I think they feel like this is a critical year for him, that he has shown signs of being that number one receiver and the guy who could replace Fitzgerald. But I think there were some inconsistencies last year, at least there were in the Cardinals' view, and Bruce Arians has said as much. And they picked up the fifth-year option, but I think it's telling that, you know, there are no negotiations right now to extend his contract.
Mm-hmm.
This is very much a, you know, make-it-or-break-it year for Michael Floyd in terms of, you know, becoming that number one guy. And, you know, it's funny that the trade talks, I don't know that they picked up the phone and called 31 teams, but I do know that they would definitely listen and they wouldn't be averse to dealing him if the right situation came along. Now, they'll say that's the case with any player, but I don't think that's the case with, you know, Carson Palmer or Andre Ellington or, you know, Patrick Peterson, or a lot of players are exceptions to that. But I think Michael Floyd falls into the category that they'd have to listen if some team wants to make him an offer.
Ken Summers, AZ Central Cardinal Insider with Brad Sussmat. You can check out his content, azcentralsports.com. Terrific that he covers it as well as he does day in, day out, and joins us for a couple of minutes. You mentioned Andre Ellington, the draft pick that comes in. Is the running back situation really crystal clear to you?
No, not really. And I think a lot of it depends on how David Johnson plays in the training camp and preseason, and if that group can stay healthy. Obviously, they would like to take a little bit of the load off Andre Ellington, and who got beat up last year. And
he can't
and
survive,
really
Kent. He can't survive with that number of hits. He just can't.
No, and the thing is, last year a lot of it was the freaky stuff. I mean, he injured the foot, you know, and just in practice a couple of weeks before. But I think they've gone back to the thinking that, look, let's use him in the right ways. Let's not ask him to go between the tackles. That's not his game. We've got people who can do that. And I think it really intrigues him playing Johnson and Ellington together. Both can catch the ball. Johnson is supposed to be a good pass blocker. But a lot of it comes down to that. And, you know, I wouldn't rule out Marion Bryce as a guy that maybe gets a role around the goal line and returning kicks. I'm still intrigued by Kerwin Williams, who came in at times last year and played really well for him and showed a burst. It's just his problem to me is he's built too much like Andre Ellington. He doesn't give him an added dimension, and that's what they're hoping David Johnson does.
Yeah, I would just like to say Grice, baby. It's an easy tweet, you know. I mean, day and age social media, right?
I mean, he's an intriguing guy,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And you know, in kind of thrust into a difficult situation here when they picked him up, but you know, maybe with a full off season and a full understanding of the offense, he really shows him something. I don't know.
Let me ask you a couple other questions on Arians and Keim. In your time in covering this organization, you've covered them inside and out for many, many years. Has there been a move or two that you've looked at and said, I just don't get it to this day?
with under this regime?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a really good question.
I mean, they've done pretty much everything right, it seems. It feels.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, at the very first when they brought in Stanton and BA was saying, you know, this guy, we can win with this guy. He's our starting quarterback. I mean, that raised my eyebrows with them going with Levi Brown at left tackle to start that first season.
They didn't have a choice, though.
Locked into that.
Yeah, they didn't have a choice on that one.
I guess.
Fitz's contract, right? That would be one that would make you, like, what's going on here?
Yeah, and I don't think you can lay that totally at the feet of Steve Keim and Bruce Arians. I think that's Michael Bidwell's input and realizing that Fitz means a lot to this team from a marketing standpoint. You know, I guess you could criticize him for, some of the free agent moves, some of the that didn't work out, that, you know, some of the better moves they've made in free agency have been guys they picked up in the summer right before training camp or right before the season.
Right.
And you could go back to, you know, looking back on it, it's probably a mistake to give Darrell Washington $10 million option bonus after he'd been suspended for four games. I think if they had to do it over again, obviously they wouldn't. But he's such a talented player and so unique, they felt like they had to.
Yeah, my point on that line of question is just, I can't remember a time other than the In Wiz We Trust when they're at the Super Bowl for that year where things have been just set up so well to have a big season ahead. It would be a lead balloon here if they did not push Seattle or pass Seattle this year, right? I mean, we're...
Oh, yeah. If this team falters, especially if people stay healthy, you know, to me, it comes... This whole season, I think, comes down to two things. Carson Palmer, can he stay healthy? And can, you know, how well does James Betcher perform in that coordinator role? And how does he mesh all the new pieces together? I think those two things. If Carson Palmer stays healthy, this team's going to be contending for the division title.
Yeah. No more Adrian Peterson, right? Just because he shows up in June doesn't mean anything to me, but there's no more Adrian Peterson.
You know, if that deal was going to get done, I think it was at draft time. I really do before the draft. I think that's passed by now. I think, you know, whatever money people had budgeted for maybe pulling off a deal now, the budgets have changed, and I think everybody's moved on, including this team.
All right. Anything else you want to add that I didn't ask you about this team right now? I mean, anything got your eye? Are you going to go on vacation, get away? Are you going to do anything?
Oh, yeah,
fine?
I'm not complaining. I spent some time in San Diego last week. Oh, I wasn't around. So, I'm going to, as soon as they're done with mini camp, I'll be off for a while. No, it's just, I think you hit on it. Anything other than a division run, and I think really anything other than, you know, winning some games in the playoff, or at least one game, that's the one thing this regime hasn't done. It will be a disappointment. I think this team is built. I mean, Bruce Arians said it at the owners' meeting. There's a 2 or 3 year window now, maybe a 2 year window, and then they're gonna maybe have to take a step back because, you know, while they find a quarterback. So,
well, San Francisco's
San
Francisco's taken an enormous step back in my view, and it doesn't mean the rest of the NFC the teams have gotten better, teams have gotten worse. It's just they can compete with Seattle, I do believe. So,
yeah, they can compete with Seattle. I think San Francisco has taken a step back, and I think, you know, I keep saying this every year. I expect the Rams to take a step forward, but
right.
You know, I don't know if Nick Foles is the answer.
Yeah, stay well. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
Okay, Brad, you're welcome.
Good visiting with you, Kent Summers, AZ Central Cardinal Insider. You can check out his content. AZ Central Sports does a terrific job. He's really good, and it's I don't need somebody just with a sledgehammer telling me how smart they are on things. He's just so smart, you don't even have to go down that path. It just rolls right out on him. On the other side, I guess I've got to get into Bruce Jenner because it's something that there's just been entirely too much talked about with Caitlyn Jenner and not Bruce Jenner. And there is a generation, and I'm not that guy. I'm not that old. But I think that if you don't know why this is such a big thing other than the Kardashians, you might want to tune in for the next – you might want to hang in here for – because there's some stuff about Bruce Jenner that was really, really interesting. There was a time where he was the biggest deal in our country for being an athlete. And that's on the other side. All right, there's some breaking news here, I think. We'll do the Bruce Jenner thing here in a second. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We have Michael Fabiano here in about 8 minutes with the NFL Network. He'll join us. The breaking news is who the Suns are bringing in today for their workouts. This is a big day. The list, here's how it works. The Suns send us out a list that shows up at about 10:30, 10:35-ish. And I just got it and looked through it. Brandon Ashley is going to be at the Suns today. That's fine. Brandon Ashley is stretch four. I think there's some questions about where does he fit in within the NBA in terms of the 13th overall pick. I don't see it. Bo Barnes is going to be there today. Bo Barnes from ASU is working out today. I thought Bo Barnes was doing like a club team or something, but he's on the list today. I'm not quite sure. That's not the 13th pick, obviously. It's very nice of the Suns to do that. Daniel Bejarano is going to be there today. Those of you that know your high school basketball for more than a nanosecond and your U of A basketball know that Daniel Bejarano was at North High and was really, really good. And then he went to the U of A and he didn't do much. And he went to Colorado State and finished up and did well. I like his game. Sam Decker is showing up today. Sam Decker, I would take Sam Decker on my team with the 13th pick in the 2015 NBA draft, the Phoenix Suns select Sam Decker. I am fine. I'm doing backflips over this. Eric, you there with me? You saw him out in LA,
yep,
right?
Yep. He'd be good.
13th pick, you think?
Yeah.
I think
I like his game and I like his athleticism. and he's versatile enough.
He's tough, man.
You can put him at different spots. He's not a... I mean, I know the Suns' wings have been okay to good, but he could be...
More towards okay.
I mean, he could be someone that is could be a really good value pick at 13.
Bo Barnes. Did that one jump out at you, too, or am I...
But this happens. I mean, don't look too far into this.
They've got six shooters.
They need an extra body. I mean, let's not overthink this. I mean, I don't think that Bo Barnes is going to get drafted. But
it's like, really? Was that just helping him out? Which is fine. But Brandon Ashley, I would look at in the second round. I'd look at Berrano in the second round. I don't love Berrano's game. He's a good player. I don't love his game as a starting two guard. I need a starter at 13. I have enough time through the years of seeing these picks at 13 where they haven't done anything. So Sam Decker's the guy for me. So that's going on. All right, let's get over to Caitlyn Jenner. So the thing about Bruce Jenner becoming Caitlyn Jenner and the cover of Vanity Fair, and it's been all over the place, and I've heard very little about it. Guys trying to do this on a national level, some come across like, man, is she hot. Man, is she... I'm not even going to use some of the terms I saw. Jon Stewart just went off on Caitlyn Jenner in a fun sort of way. I look at this picture, and what I remember of Bruce Jenner is the 1976 Olympics. I was just a kid, very young, but I was totally immersed into sports. Different time, I'd race out to the mailbox when Sports Illustrated would show up. Every Thursday, Sports Illustrated would be in my mailbox. Sporting News would be in my mailbox. That's who I was. That's what I grew up with. Different era. Both those are still terrific, terrific outlets. Bruce Jenner in the 76 Olympics. In that 76 Olympics, there was also not... You had to use the black and white. Really? Now you are making me look old. Nadia Comaneci, Edwin Moses, who killed it in track. And Sugar Ray Leonard was in that Olympics Games. And the Spinks brothers. It was an iconic group, and Bruce Jenner won the decathlon. He was the guy, and now he's the girl, and that's what they're talking about. When I say they on social media, that is the biggest buzz is to Caitlyn Jenner. There is some backlash towards ESPN when it came out that Caitlyn Jenner will be given the. What is it, the award that they give, the most inspirational or humanitarian or something like that? It's the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. Caitlyn Jenner is going to be given the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. And that there's some other much more deserving athletes than Caitlyn Jenner. What you don't understand when you make that argument is it's big media, it's big corporate, it's clicks, it's page views rather than content. And the story just doesn't resonate like Bruce Jenner becoming Caitlyn Jenner. It's just how it is in this case. Don't like it, don't watch. You know, that's how it works out. The other thing that caught my eye outside of that story is Dennis Rodman weighed in. Of course Dennis Rodman had to weigh in on this. That's what this is becoming. Dennis Rodman says, quote, damn, everyone and their mothers are commenting on Caitlyn Jenner's Vanity Fair cover. Dennis Rodman, in a phone interview, said that he is totally down for going on a date with Caitlyn. Of course he is. If she's interested, that is, end quote. Of course, this is what it's turned into in some circles. In some circles. Now I'm going to find it here, and I just bring this up as the athlete that was, now what is. On the other side, Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network. His big fantasy football convention at the Venetian is just a month away. You want to be at that. We're going to ask him some fantasy football questions, too, that you've been emailing into me, brad@sports360az.com. Stay with us.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
All right, as mentioned, just over a month from now, the fantasy football world will be descending on Las Vegas. Actually, I had this idea with Michael back when they were at the Waste Management Open during Super Bowl week. I was going to talk to him about, hey, you should do something out here. And he was way down the path on it, which is smart. We had him on about a month ago, right after the draft, to talk about the National Fantasy Football Convention. Guys, the website is gonffc.com, gonffc.com. You'll have Tony Romo there telling you to your face why you should be in Vegas July 10th through the 12th. Michael Fabiano, NFL Network senior fantasy analyst, for a couple of minutes. How is this shaping up?
Shaping up really well. The list of players that we have is ridiculous. I mean, Eddie Lacy, Dez Bryant, Rob Gronkowski, Tony, Jamal Charles, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones. I mean, there's a just a litany of great NFL players and great fantasy players. Jeremy Maclin, Randall Cobb, T.Y. Hilton. It's basically the who's who of fantasy football. And again, like I talked about the last time that we chatted on the show, these guys want to turn this into the Comic-Con of the NFL's fantasy football. So it's really, really looking like it's going to be a memorable 3-day event, and hopefully a lot of the people will be able to get out there and check it out. Guarantee it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's at the Venetian, July 10th through the 12th. So a fan,
that's right,
a fan signs up, puts down the money, they show up. What is a typical day going to look like? I mean, you have all these players that are there bumping around. What are they giving them advice? What's a typical day going to look like?
Well, basically, you also have to remember, too, that there's going to be two different levels. You can purchase a field-level pass, which is right around $250. You can access the tailgate zone, fantasy combine, the kickoff party, Fantasy Hall of Fame event, Fantasy Live in Las Vegas, and all the training sessions. And if you do the MVP level, which is a little bit more expensive, it's about $875, basically you get access to everything. You're going to all the parties. You could even catch a football from Tony Romo or learn how to spike a football from Rob Gronkowski.
No.
Either way, if you use the promo code Fabiano, you get a discount off of your registration. And it's going to be amazing. It's the first event of its kind. There have been a lot of other fantasy football conventions that have happened that have failed. This one is lining up to succeed in a big, big way. So you don't want to miss it. And these guys are going to be having fun. It's a couple of weeks before their camps are going to be starting. So it's going to be a lot of, it's going to be a lot of fun. These guys are well versed in what fantasy football is, what it means to the National Football League, and what it means to the fans too.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, so a guy like Tony Romo, when you or your people get in touch with him about doing this, mm-hmm. and he's all in. Why is he all in? I mean, is it he likes the fantasy aspect? And how many of these guys get it?
Most of the players are very, very aware of fantasy football. And you know what, Brad? I mean, sometimes it's because of a negative reason. They don't have a good game.
Yep.
Twitter blows up.
Yep.
The trolls come out.
Yep.
But a lot of players that I talk to, they have a lot of similar stories of being on the road and in a hostile environment, but the fans there don't mind them putting up some pretty decent numbers at times because they're on their fantasy football team. Of course, most fans want their team to win, but if their fantasy players do well, regardless, it's not necessarily a bad thing. So the players are aware of it. My good friend D'Angelo Williams, he's been on one side of fantasy football in that he feels like it makes players into objects rather than people, but he understands how popular it is and how it improves the popularity and value of the game. Freddie Jackson, who I've interviewed in the past, who's going to be attending the NFFC, he loves the concept of fantasy football because fans now have an appreciation for the players, and they also are watching more games than they ever have before. Not only are you watching your favorite team, but now you're watching games from all over the country because you have a fantasy football team and a fantasy football player or players who are involved in those teams. So I think the players get it. And to be quite honest with you, and I think you would agree and most fans would agree, a lot of these players that you know by name, that I know by name, that the sort of regular everyday fantasy football owner know by name, they wouldn't have that recognition without fantasy football.
No.
Because
no,
you're not paying attention to all these players because you don't have a personal interest in it because, well, they're not on your favorite team.
I'll just tell you out here, you better have Marion Grice if you're going to have the Cardinal running back this year. How's that?
What have you heard about David Johnson?
I'm not hearing good about David Johnson. I'm hearing good about Marion Grice near the goal line. That's just what I'm hearing here in June. But it's June. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know,
right.
So,
I mean, Andre Ellington is the running back in Arizona to draft, but from everything that I've seen and heard, David Johnson is sort of just like a bigger version of him. So they didn't really add a compliment so much as they added a guy who's a little bit bigger with in sort of skill set. So we'll see. There's a lot of those backfields where people are unsure of who exactly is going to see the majority of the carries. I mean, I can rattle off 10 off the top of my head, and one of them is the Dallas Cowboys behind arguably the best line in the entire league. So a lot of questions that still need to be answered, including Arizona's backfield.
Yeah, but you have a buckethead in Dallas who said there was a lot of meat left on the bone. I mean, come on.
I know. Joe Randall is really talented. He is just a knucklehead.
Is he coming to your event?
I believe he is going to be at this event, to be quite honest with you. And, you know, like, he's a fantasy sleeper because of that offensive line, because look at the yards per carry that he averaged last year. It was really good.
Yeah.
He didn't see a lot of work because, well, DeMarco Murray was having a career season. But, listen, Darren McFadden's never been a guy who can stay healthy. He's a little bit older. He's got a little wear and tear on him. And Randall is someone who has upside in youth. And if he can sort of screw his head on right, there's potential there. Unfortunately, as an analyst, you and I have no idea how that might affect his playing time, his production moving forward. But in terms of upside, there aren't many running backs with more upside in the sleeper category than Randall because of the team that he plays with.
Yeah, Dallas and Arizona were the big losers in Adrian Peterson. That's just how I see it. It's not beyond, in my view, just because the agent's so goofy up there, it's not beyond my view to say that Adrian Peterson, when we get into August, is saying, you know, I don't think I'm going to show up. But that's just me, you know. That's where I'm at on that. What do you make out of Cam Newton? So the third highest paid quarterback, but from a fantasy standpoint, he gets the contract. What do you make out of Cam Newton?
I just actually wrote a column on this morning that you can find on NFL.com at some point today or later in the week. So I did research on quarterbacks who land big contract extensions in the offseason and sort of looking in if there's a trend. There really isn't. Some of the guys had bad seasons, like Ben Roethlisberger, for example, Colin Kaepernick last year. Some of the guys had good seasons, like Drew Brees. Eli Manning had a pretty decent season after he had his initial contract extension. So I don't know that you can put a lot of value into the fact that he just got paid a lot of dead presidents. But look at the numbers, and in my opinion, Newton is going to be one of the better draft bargains in 2015, and here's why. Before 2014, he had never finished worse than fourth in fantasy points among quarterbacks. His fantasy points had declined every year, but he was still no worse than fourth. Last year, he had off-season ankle surgery. Then he injured his rib. His entire core of wide receivers turned over. Everybody was gone.
Had the car accident, too.
Brandon LaFell was gone.
He had the accident.
He had a car accident. Right. That's another point. So not only did he deal with ankle surgery, the injured rib, a car accident that could have been a heck of a lot worse.
Right.
Thank God it wasn't, of course. And his entire core of wide receivers turn around. He goes in and finishes 17th in fantasy points among quarterbacks last year, by far his worst performance in a single season. But over the last three games, he averaged over 25 fantasy points a game. He had three rushing touchdowns. He had over 170 rushing yards. And you know me, pal. We've been talking about this for years. When a quarterback can run with the football effectively, he has added value in fantasy.
Right.
And Newton was amazing last year in the last three games. If you had him, you were probably in the playoffs and maybe even won your championship because he helped you out. He did miss one game to the injury, but three of those last four games for Carolina, he was amazing. And I think that's going to be what happens in 2015. He's not going to average 25 fantasy points a game, but he's also not going to be the 17th best quarterback in fantasy. He's going to get back into that top 10. And because we're living in a world of what have you done for me lately, people are going to remember, well, he wasn't very good last year. He's going to fall. And quarterbacks overall are falling because, well, people see the value in running backs and wide receivers. So you can probably get Cam, I would say, 6th, 7th, 8th round, depending on how many teams are in your league.
and I would be pretty confident that you're going to get a more reliable, productive player than you had last year. A
couple other questions. Let you go. GoNFFC.com, GoNFFC.com for Michael Fabiano. The National Fantasy Football Convention, July 10th through the 12th in Vegas at the Venetian. He joins us for a couple of minutes. The NFL Network senior fantasy analyst, good friend of the show. Are you down on Peyton Manning given the loss on the offensive front with Clady?
Listen, you have to have some skepticism with Manning this year because, and I know this all too well because I had him last year in the NFL Fantasy Live League and lost in the championship to Matt Money Smith because, well, he was rotten the last four games and he was 27th in fantasy points among quarterbacks. 27th. Teddy Bridgewater and guys like Blake Bortles had more fantasy points than him. Gary Kubiak and Rick Dennison, they like to run the football, okay? That's not saying they're going to take the ball out of Peyton Manning's hands. He's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. He may be the greatest fantasy quarterback ever. But to go out and expect him to be the same quarterback who's thrown for 5,500 yards and 55 touchdowns is unrealistic. I think if you get 43 to 4,500 yards, 35 touchdown passes, somewhere in that area, maybe 38 touchdown passes, that's where I would project him. Keep in mind, okay, Kubiak has never had a quarterback as great as Manning on any of his teams that he had in Houston or last year when he was the OC in Baltimore. But his offense is very, very much based on running the football, which is really good news for C.J. Anderson. But Peyton's still a top five fantasy quarterback. Also keep in mind, Brad, that age is catching up with Peyton. He's 39.
Sure.
Brady's going to be 39 or 38. Breeze is 36. So you can't expect these guys to do it forever. And I think that's why you're going to see Peyton Manning fall probably, I would say, into the fourth or fifth round in a 10 or 12 team league, somewhere in that area where last year people were talking about him as a first or second rounder. But that's not the case. And it's not the case for Drew Brees either. I think he falls into the fourth, fifth round, somewhere in that area as well.
Last question, I'll let you go. Most commonly asked question you have been getting this time of year?
Most common question, I would say, one of the most common questions I get is Odell Beckham Jr. worth a first-round pick? And I also get that about Rob Gronkowski. I think Rob Gronkowski is worth a first-round pick, although I wouldn't take him in the first round unless I'm at the end of the first round and I can get a running back quickly on the turn in the second round. But OBJ is interesting. Now, if you're a Giants fan or you just love watching OBJ play and you want to draft him in the first round, do it. Fantasy football is about fun and competition. I just wouldn't do it because averaging 17 fantasy points per game is not easy for a wide receiver. Antonio Brown was the number one wide receiver in fantasy last year. He averaged fewer than 15. Demaryius Thomas, Dez Bryant, they averaged right around 14. 17 fantasy points a game is a lot, Brad. It's a lot. To expect.
I'll take it.
And with Victor Cruz coming back, at least we assume he's going to be back at some point next season, maybe the targets decline for him. He's talented. He's otherworldly. He's amazing. He is a second-round pick, in my opinion.
I'll let you go off that. Good luck in Vegas, July 10th through the 12th.
Well, hopefully we see you there.
Yeah, well, I want to be there. I'm just wishing you luck, you know? I mean, it sounds like even if I'm there, you're just going to have you're going to have the security and an entourage and all that stuff. Big time. Big time.
No way. They're going to have me taking out the trash with all these NFL players there.
Get out of here. GoNFFC.com. GoNFFC.com. As always, Michael Fabiano, thanks for the time.
Thanks, brother.
You got it. Michael Fabiano with us there for a couple of minutes. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. On the other side, get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports. I've not talked much about the Diamondbacks today. I've got to get to that and some other things in the middle of the day. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our website, sports360AZ.com.